say, you're not here by mistake. That's right. Do you realize that each and every one of us, you might have thought, okay, now you're having too much fun with it. You just might have thought you got up this morning and it was Sunday and you decided to go to church, which might be your routine or whatever you might place in that category. But I want you to know that in God's providence and His sovereignty, He knew each and every one of us that would be here today. Right here at this spot. That's God that we serve. And you know, not only that, but do you know you have a purpose in God's plan? Each and every one of you has a purpose. Now, don't listen to the devil's lies that tell you, oh, you're not unusable. Oh, God can't use you because of so-and-so. Whatever you want to fill in that blank. And He beats a lot of people up that way. Don't listen to that lie. If you're a born-again child of God, you have a purpose and a plan, and God wants to work through each and every one of us here. And you're important. Nobody's more important than the other. We're all important from the least to the greatest. When I say least, from the youngest to the oldest, how that? There's no least or greatest. Youngest to the oldest. You're important. And God has a plan. And if we're not careful, we'll go through life and look to embrace and try to find satisfaction in all the things the world has to give us. There's nothing that'll bring you lasting satisfaction like a relationship with Jesus Christ, finding His purpose for your life, and burning hot for Him. Embrace that. You know, God and Jesus in John 10 said He gave us abundant life. Jesus didn't only give us eternal life, He gave us abundant life, that we could have life more abundantly. Are we living that abundant life? Are we doing the things of God? I want us to think in our lesson today, continuing the story about Jonah, the book of Jonah. If you remember last week where we had and where we got to where these guys are out on the sea. Now, the storm's still going on in our story. And somebody said, man, I got a little seasick thinking about it. This thing's raging. I mean, they're out riding a mule, if you please. They're bouncing around, and so this thing is raging. And remember, they cast the lots. I'm wondering how they kept that to keep it blowing off the deck. But they're casting the lots, whatever they did, and it fell on Jonah, and they found him out. And he said, who are you? Remember what their question was? Who are you, and where are you from, and what's your occupation? And that's how we ended with Jonah on verse 10 of last week, or verse 9, where he said that, hey, I'm a Hebrew, I fear God, and I serve the God, the creator of the oceans and land and the sea. And that's where we left off last week. Well, you see the title of our lesson this week is Man Overboard. If you would, just stand to your feet, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Jonah 1, 10 through 16, and the Word of God says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him in the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a few moments today. Thank you for everyone that's come here. Lord, help them start to realize that they're here for a purpose. God brought them here. This is your word. It touches us, Lord, going and coming. Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified through your word, and everybody, God, will be here, will be touched by it in some way. Please, if there's somebody here that does not have that relationship with you, prick their hearts right now. When I said those words, they know it. I pray they don't leave here the same, and we'll give you all the glory for everything that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we picked up our story now, and Jonah was pressed into the corner where he had to witness. And if you remember, I challenged you last week, please don't let life, don't have God press you to the point where you have to witness. I talked about Sandy and my dad and how they became great witnesses after they found out they were dying. Have you ever noticed people, it's
see what he said. And I want you first to look at, in our man overboard, look at the mariner's questions, please. Verses 10 through 11, it says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid." And you're going to hear that afraid fear, and we're going to look at that here in a little bit. "And they said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing tempestuous." Now this is a storm that's getting worse and worse. You say, how in the world is this storm just getting? They've got to the point where these mariners, in fact, that word for mariners there in the Hebrew is salt. How'd you like, you're on the sea so much, they just call you old salty. That's what they were. They were men in the sea, and yet they knew that this storm was just something out of the ordinary, that God had hurled at them, and they're fighting this thing with all their worth. Everything, every bit of knowledge that they had of the sea, they're fighting against it, but they can't fight against God. I want you to know that this morning. You can fight all you want to against God, but you can't win. And listen to what they ask. I like the why and the what's. What did they say? Why have you done this? And then what can we do? Now, I want you to think about the why and the what questions in our life. I hope that you're living in a way that people see a difference in your life out in the community, the places that you work, the schools, young people that you are in, that they see a difference in your life to where they begin to ask, why do you do the things that you do? Why is it that you're different? What is it? And then look, usually behind why is the what. What is it that makes you different? What is it that I can do in the storms of my life to have the peace that you seemingly have in your life? The why and the what. And look what those mariners said. Why have you done this? The men were afraid. What were they afraid of? Because Jonah in verse 9 had said, I'm a Hebrew. And he says, I fear God. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then he says, my God is the creator of everything and the sea. Now think about the irony of that, by the way. Where are they at? We talked about this last week. They're on the sea. They're fighting a storm. And they're starting to say, what in the world are you doing? Don't forget the four of the five questions that he answered. What did he answer? When they asked the question, one of them he left out. What's your occupation? Wonder why he left that out. You ever thought about that? Oh, I'm a prophet of God. I'm a preacher. I thought about that. You know, can't get called. What about you? You know, get caught in a situation and you're running from the Lord. People see disobedience in your life. You know, I don't want to say, well, I'm a preacher down at Southport Baptist Church. Seriously, think about that. That's why he left the prophet out, the mouthpiece of God, the one that could foretell the future. Hello, Jonah, did you not see the storm coming? That's what I want to say. I had me and Lee were in town the other day, and we saw the palm reader there on 321. He said, I tell you what, let's go in there and ask her. If you can tell me what I done yesterday, I'll listen to what you tell me that's going to happen in my future. That's a good question, ain't it? You just tell me what I did yesterday, and I'll believe you about what's going to happen in the future. That's a pretty good question to ask. What about Jonah? He's a prophet of God. Did you not foresee this coming, Jonah? He's trying to run from God. He don't want anything to do with God. And when we get that way, you know what? We turn a blind eye to what God's trying to teach us and show us. And that's what he's doing. He's rebellious. They press Jonah into a corner to where he has to proclaim God, but he's a rebellious. You know, you see, rebellion is a refusal to do what God requires you to do. That's what rebellion is. Do you realize that we all deal with rebellion this morning, by the way? Just like James 4:17 verse, that we know God tells us to do things and we don't do it, and we just kind of think, oh, he'll forgive me. I'll just do the 1 John 1:9. Oh, if I confess my sins, I'll be covered. If we're not careful, that's how we live our life. But that's not what God wants for you. And by the way, that's not the abundant life. God wants you to do the things that he's commanded you to do and be obedient to him. And then when we refuse to do that, rebellion comes into our life. And look at that last statement. The longer we refuse, the longer it will take us to get back to God. Do you believe that? Have you ever got out on the desert so long and you kicked against it till you find yourself just thirsting plumb to death? The longer you're out there, the longer it'll take for you to get back to God. But please, remember the title of our lesson. Remember what Jonah, God's heart for the nation. Don't miss the little subplot that's going on here, which is so important because you can find yourself in those old salts those old mariners, because you see, he's dealing with his prophet that's being rebellious and he's running from God, but he also has his eyes set on a bunch of old mariners out there on the sea, and you're going to see this whosoever will God of John 3:16's hearts coming forward. Aren't you glad that he did that one day for you, that he brought? I'm so glad, like I talked about, I'm so glad he had a friend that cared enough to say, how about going to church with me? And me kicking against it the whole time. I don't want to go to church. It's full of a bunch of hypocrites. How many times have we used that one? People that I'm out here partying with are acting like they're better than me. I don't want to go there. That's exactly what I said. I'm so glad he cared enough. I am. I'm so glad he cared enough that he had me to go to church with him, and I heard the message of Jesus Christ at 28 years old. 28. Boy, I wish I could go back and have those 28 years to do, but I can't undo those. But you know what? I've got a, I don't know how many I got before me, but I surely can live for God for the rest in front of me. You can't go back, by the way, and undo. But you know what? You can do a lot in front of you, can't you? This is a new day. Each day is a new day. And there's a lot of things, a lot of garbage, and a lot of weight that we drag in here with us that keeps us weighted down and being that which God wants us to be. And we just got to let it go. Whosoever will. Because God, the mission of God is to reach lost people. Are you part of that mission? You're his missionaries, by the way. I'm looking at a room full of missionaries. Right here. You talking about me, Dave? Yeah, I'm talking about you. Missionaries. To what? To my schools, middle schools, high schools, work. I'm a missionary. You're a missionary for the mission of God to reach a lost and dying world. Period. That's the mission of God. And that's what, I want us to see that mission, and he's reaching out. Yeah, he's punishing his prophet, and they're right in the middle of it. But you know what? He's got his eyes set on some sailors, too, and we'll see that played out. Because look at verse 9. What he talks about there, we're up at verse 9 where it was talking about when he says, I fear the Lord, Jonah said. You remember that? I fear the Lord. Jonah, you fear the Lord and you're running from God out on the sea that you said he made and you fear it. You know what Jonah is? He's no longer a prophet anymore. He's just like we just talked about. He's a just plain old hypocrite. Don't tell me you fear God and you're out there on the sea running from God who made the sea. And you know what? That's just like when we tell people, oh, I love Jesus, and then you take his name in vain or take God's name in vain or you live just like the world or you're out there looking any different. It's a hypocrite. That's what Jonah was. He was a hypocrite. Oh, I fear God. I'm a Hebrew. He's almost proud of that. And you'll see that. Hebrews were always proud of their lineage. I fear God. Well, you don't look like you're fearing him too much, Jonah. You're running from him. It's the same thing with our testimony. We're just like him when we say, oh, we're Christians and we love Christ, but we live contrary to God's word. Just another hypocrite. How did Jonah get to that? You ever ask that? How did Jonah get to that place in his life? How is it that he, as a prophet of God, as a mouthpiece of God, we know that he had prophesied, the prophecy had come true, God had used him mightily. Man, he was like, yeah, but then when God told him to do something he didn't want to do, he's out with his tail between his legs, running away from God's heart. How did he get to that point? Same way we do. Making bad choices one day at a time. A little choice here, a little choice there. And before we know it, we're in full rebellion, running as hard as we can away from God. Can we do that? Yes, you better believe you can. That's why it's so important daily that I spend time with him. I spend time with him in his word, in prayer, daily. Why? Because you know what? I am not bulletproof. I hope that don't take you by surprise. I am a man that gets stressed every day just like the rest of you. And I have, there's certain bents, certain tendencies, certain things that Satan knows about me and he can stumble block. And it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. Each and every one of us here. Nobody's bulletproof. And if you get to fear like you are, be careful. That's it, lest you fall. You're getting ready to slip. We never get to that point. In fact, we stay on guard and we stay prayed up, we stay studied up, and we stay in that right relationship. You know, Jonah's failing at the two big in Scripture, two big in our Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, in Matthew 22:37-39, it sums up that where it says, you know, love God, love your fellow man, love the Lord God with what? With your heart, your soul, and your mind. And he said, and then the second one, like it to itself, to love your neighbor as yourself. Is Jonah loving God? Is he loving God? If he's loving God, the God that he fears, he wouldn't be running from God. Is he loving his fellow man? There's probably almost a million Ninevites that need to hear the word of God, that Christ and God can save, and Jonah's running away. He don't care about the Ninevites. He don't care about the soldiers that he's on the sailors that he's on the boat with. He don't care. Failing at the big two. Boy, when we fell there, you know what? Jesus said, he summed it up out of Deuteronomy 6 is where this verse quoted in the law. But then Jesus reiterates, do I love God? Do I love my fellow man? Yeah, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to live that way before him. And I love this. And look at the mariner's questions. Why have you done this? I'm going to drink some water to keep from losing the voice today. Listen to the question. What did they say? Why have you done this? You know what they're saying? Are you crazy? That's it. Are you crazy? You just told me that you know God that created all this. We're riding this mule, and you're saying that you're running from him? Are you crazy? I mean, seriously, can you hear that sometimes in your life? The things and the storms that come into our life, and we act like a bunch of pagans that we don't know, that we hold on to God, and God's in control of everything, and we're up and down, and we're riding a roller coaster of life. And God, you know, sometimes I feel like he says, are you crazy? Do you not get it? That I'm in control of everything. You know what you almost do in this story? You find yourself rooting for the sailors. I do. I can't help it. I'm thinking, man, these old boys, they just fell into it. Think about it. But I want you to see, please don't miss it. As we're talking about God's focus, because God's got a plan for them. I love Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. What are we seeing these guys? They're afraid. First, they were afraid for their life and praying their own gods. And then they're afraid when they hear the testimony of the true God. And we're going to see this fear's building up. These guys are getting it. Jonah's not. God's got a plan. You know what they find themselves? They want a solution, though, don't they? They want a solution. Are you crazy? What can we do? How do we get God off this boat? How we get this out of this storm in our life? I'm serious. You know what? They're caught right in between God and the prophet on a come-to-Jesus meeting. You ever been in those come-to-Jesus meetings? He's getting their attention. He's getting his prophet's attention. These poor old sailors are right in the middle of the fuss. And you know what they're saying? How can we get out of this? What can we do to get God off our back? I want you to look at Jonah's stubbornness, our second point today. Verse 12. Please don't miss it. And he said to them, look, this is Jonah, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. He's finally admitting, right, his sin. You think, oh, Jonah's making strides here. I found myself reading this thinking, well, he's starting to have compassion on these sailors, and because of him, they're going through this. And you know what? Don't miss it. His heart might be changed a little bit, and he might admit it, but he's still not heading for Nineveh, okay? He's still not heading for Nineveh. I want us to think about his stubbornness. He admits it, he repents, and here's the deal. In our stubbornness of life, how many times do we say, well, I just can't. I can't forget what somebody's done to me. I can't get over how they've hurt me so bad. You know what you're saying? The cross of Christ is not sufficient for my situation. That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. When you say, I just can't. I can't get over this, or I can't let it go. Hello, you can't, but he can. The cross of Christ is not sufficient for my situation when you're doing that. That's how you're living, a defeated life. When God can get you through any situation, Jonah's stubborn. He don't want to give in. You know what? I want you to know what he's saying. Jonah's making a plea to just throw me overboard, but he's not willing to give up his sin yet. Think about it. How far has his rebellion gone? You know what Jonah's saying? I'd rather die than preach. I'd rather die than be obedient to what God's called me to do. That's what he's saying. You say, what? Now, Pastor Dave, are you sure? Because it looks like his heart's turning and he's starting to worry about the sailors. Okay, if he is worried about the sailors, why didn't he jump? Just take you a nosedive right over the front. If you're worried about them, he told them to throw him in. Let me give you something even better than that. Why didn't he fall on his knees in front of that God that created it? Fall on his knees asking him to forgive you of your sin, showing them how to repent. and turn this boat around, head back to Nineveh. Do you not think it would have happened the same way? He's too stubborn. He's not been broke yet. He's not been broke. We'll see. God's got a plan next week to break him. That's how far our rebellion gets. Was it a noble gesture? If it was so noble, why did he just pick a dime and ask God? He's locked in stubbornness. And you know, there's many of us sitting here in this room right now that's just as stubborn as he was. I got my feelings hurt wherever. I just can't let it go. That's the same thing. And you will never be what God wants you to be until you let that go. And ask God to just let it go out of your past. Let me learn from it and go on. Go on. The stubbornness. Why did he fall on his knees? He would rather die than go preach to that bunch of heathen Ninevites. Because he's worried, we'll see in chapter 4, he's worried they're going to get saved. That's all it is. Because he knows God. That's a shame to know God in that way. Like we do. To know him in that way and have a personal relationship and yet always say, but I just can't. Get over. He's not faithful. He's just being stubborn. Just throw me overboard. Well, let's look at from pagans to professing. Don't miss the beauty of this story here. Verses 13 through 16. And look what it says. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued. Look, you say, how bad can this storm get? Keeps growing tempestuous against them. It's not going to stop till they turn the boat around or something happens. Somebody gets turned around, right? It's not. It's growing more and more and more. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked him up, Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. I want you to think about that. These guys are in the middle of this frantic situation. They're trying to figure out what can we do. And then, you know, and when Jonah says, just throw me in the sea, these are not just complete heathens, what they say. And it's not just all about them. Do you see they even tried to save Jonah? Tried to row back to the sea. They were compassionate when Jonah wasn't. They didn't want to throw him in the sea. In fact, think about it. They're thinking, wait a minute. If this is God's man and this is God and we're riding this thing out, they're starting to get it. You see what I'm saying? They're starting to get it. Don't miss it. They're starting to say, wait a minute. It's not just all about us here. We're riding this storm that this God that he's proclaiming. We need to make sure things are right here before we go and make a crazy notion. Listen, is that not just like us trying to fix our own situation? How many of us are guilty when we're in the midst of something, trying to manipulate, just control it, wanting to try to fix everything when we can't fix it? And you know what? What fixes it? Repentance. Repentance. That's it. That's what fixes it in our situations. The only thing that we can fix our disobedience is one way. Repentance. Period. Try hard. Row all you want. You're not going to get anywhere. You've got to give it to God. Just repent. I like this verse 14. Having failed in their rescue attempt, they begin an unusual prayer meeting. They begin praying. Now, don't forget, remember back over in verses 5 that they started praying, right? They started praying to their gods, the idols. They began, so they understood prayer, but guess what? They're praying to the true God this day. You say, why do you say that? Well, look what it says in 14. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, capital L, Yahweh. No longer are they crying out to idols. They knew that didn't get them anywhere. They're starting to call out to Jonah's God. They're starting to get it. The fear of the Lord is entering their heart, and that's when knowledge begins. And look, go on, it says, and we pray, O Lord, again, capital L, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. You know, they don't understand the whole situation, and they're worried that maybe Jonah, you know, for them to throw him, they don't want to murder him. They know it's a death sentence to throw him over in that storm. And they're saying, please don't charge us with this innocent blood. And then it says, for you, capital Y, for you, O Lord, capital L, have done as it pleased you, capital Y. You know what? They're starting to pray to the one true God. They've left their idols. They're turning their focus towards the only thing that can get them through, and that's God. Just like us today, by the way. Quit trying to get your way, manipulate your way through future situation. Just turn it over to God. He can do it. He can do it. Father, Lord, in obedience is required from all of us today. I want you to look at 15. Don't miss it. This is the amen moment of the prayer, by the way. They picked him up, threw him over the side. I want you to get a picture of old Jonah doing a Peter Pan right over the side of the boat. That's it. Man overboard! That's it. Amen. Chomp. Kaboosh. But look what happened. Look what happened. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. You know what? They started out fearing for their life. They called on their gods. They feared whenever Jonah professes the true God to them up in verse 9. Jonah talks and even says, I fear God. Even with fear's mentioned there, but true fear is coming through here. And then in 10, they exceedingly were afraid. Why? Because they're coming face to face with the living God. And when they chunked him overboard and he hit the water, it says that storm, look what it says. It stormed, saw 15. So they picked him up, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its rage. Can you imagine that moment of silence, by the way? Can you imagine? You've rowed it. You're called an old salt. You've lived the sea. And you're in the midst of the greatest storm of your life. And kaplunk, when he hits the water, the sea stops raging. Can you imagine? Look. Guess what? Storms just don't stop like that, do they? The same thing with the master. You remember when the master was there and the disciples, don't you care? We're perishing. Peace be still. Why? Because he's in control. He's the God that's in control of everything. The wind, the air, the sea, the storms. He's in control of everything. He's in control of everything in your life today also, by the way. He's in control. And look what happens, man. This is a result of them coming face to face with God. They fear God, the true God. You know what they became? Worshippers. Look what he says. Look in 16. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, capital L, and they took vows. What they did, they came to face with the maker and the master of the sea, and you know what? They received him. They turned from their sin away from worshiping idols, and they make sacrifices unto the true God, and they make vows. Lord, we'll live for you. I believe what that vow was. Lord, we've experienced now, no longer will we worship these old meaningless idols, but we'll worship you. This reminds me of a story. There was an old slave trader. Made his pride living by selling a slave trade. He was out on the ocean one day in a ship called Greyhound. There was a storm came up. I can't help but think it. Maybe the Lord sent it that way. They fought that storm to where the sailors thought they had lost. It was over. This man made a promise to God that if you'll deliver us from this storm, I'll live for you the rest of my life. His name is John Newton. He wrote the most famous song that's ever been written, hymn song, Amazing Grace, that we sing just about every Sunday, sometime or other. The storms in his life, God turned him around, got a hold of him, looked at him. Sometimes maybe we need to look at our situations and see what it is that God's trying to teach us. What is it that God's, maybe you're going through a storm right now. Be encouraged. He's the master of the sea. Peace be still. He can calm it down. But you know what? He requires of us to be obedient sometimes in the midst of that storm. Whatever it is that he's telling us to do, we need to do. Look at our applications and they'll be done. I just want to know, where are you at this morning? Where are you at? Applications. Are you following the Lord in complete obedience? How many of us could sit here and say, I'm following the Lord in complete obedience this morning? Because let me tell you, if you were, why is this place not full? Why is it not? 2, have you surrendered your plans and purposes to Him? Are you just all called up in
going to get rid of my preconceived notions of what I think is going on and just say, Lord, whatever you want for my life. Number three, who do you know that need that you need to help encounter Christ? Who do you know that you need to help encounter Christ? Each and every one of us has people in our lives that we touch every day that we need to reach out to in Jesus' name and point them towards the Master. You know what we see in this? God's grace triumphs rebellion, don't it? Even though the prophet wasn't turned, God reached and saved a couple, a bunch of old sailors on that boat that night in that storm. It triumphs, man. And here it is. It costs far more to run from God than it does to run with God. You believe that? It costs far more to run from God than it does to run with God. Are you running with God today, this morning? If you're running from God, how about just stop it and turn it around? Stop it, turn around, and go with God. Life is too short. Christ is coming. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we're sitting back, taking it easy. What is it that God wants from you? You are not here to write a pen. You are not here just for chance happening. You are here for the mission of God, your Southport Baptist Church, to be God's people. Does that mean everything's always going to go easy? No, that's a joke. But you know what? We have a whole group of people that we can face the storms of life together, that we can pray, and that we can keep our focus on the things that are eternal and get off these temporal kicks. It is time for some of you to let go of stuff that you've held on for too long. Give it to God. Ask Him to forgive you, and go on. Quit letting it weigh you down. Let go and let God. What is it that God wants from you this morning? Where are you at? Can any of us say that we're in total obedience to God this morning? I can't. Boy, I'd like to say I try, you know, but as far as he's saying, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm 100% through and through. Boy, you better be careful. You better do some soul searching before you say that. 100% right with God. Everything's good. He'll teach you where you are. I say, Lord, please, if I'm not right with you, Lord, there's something there in my life, please reveal it to me, God, because the time is too short for me to be wondering and trying to get things right in my life when I can give it to you and burn white hot. What does he want from us? Well, time for our invitation. This is our invitation. We'll just play. Are you going to come, Gene? Good. We'll play. Stand your feet, please. God's Word, God knew exactly what we needed to hear today. He knew right where you were at. He knew the storms that you were going through in your life. He knows if you're lost or saved right now. I've heard time and time again, said it last Sunday, oh, I wish I'd just been obedient. The Lord told me to go forward, and I was worried about what somebody thought about what I was going through, what I was doing. Who cares what everybody's thinking? It's what God thinks. And if you're thinking that way, if you're one of them people, shame on you. You ought to be one up at the altar. This is our church family. This is the most important time that we have is our decision time. If you're lost, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's your day. If you know in your heart that old heart's beating and you know you've heard it, you can try to keep that smashed down, but you know that God's wanting you to be saved today. Come forward. You're seeing a bunch of people will celebrate with you. That's what it's about. That's the mission of God. That's what our mission is. If you know that God's shown you some things in your life today that you've not let go, that you've held on to, you can't forgive, somebody's hurt my feelings, whatever, that God's pointed that out, get it right today. Just come forward and say, God, I'm so tired. I just want to give it to you. No longer do I want it to hold me back. Lord, I want to burn white hot for you. Let's close our eyes. Gene's going to start leading us in a song. I want you to close your eyes and search your heart. See what it is that the Lord has told you to do today.
fear and sadness, because I want to see these young people get baptized in the river. That'll be a banner day. Go ahead and get it on your calendar.